This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It was back to winning ways for Pompey at Fratton Park last time out.
That is the final piece of action of this game. It's finished here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth 4, Crewe Alexandra 1.
The Blues moved up to fourth in League One following the victory over Crewe on Saturday. Coming up between now and 7, we'll be hearing from Ronan Curtis, who has been talking about his recent experience with the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, it was great, obviously, being away with the lads for 10, 11 days. Came on against England and then got my start against Bulgaria. So, yeah, I'm flying with confidence at the minute.
As well as manager Kenny Jackett, who was pleased with the efficiency his side displayed at the weekend.
What we tried to do came off and we worked it well and we were clinical with our finishing and it's got us the 3 points.
As ever, I'll be inviting two more Blues fans onto the show to go over the events of the last match and to look ahead to the next. And we'll be relying on you back home to get in touch with us over the course of the hour too. Who impressed you the most on Saturday afternoon? Does the gaffer deserve more credit than he's been getting following an impressive run of form and an improved start of play? And what do you think the outcome of tomorrow night's game will be when Pompey host Oxford United at Fratton Park? Get in touch by texting the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/Pompey Live. You're listening to 93.7 Express FM, and this is the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city, 93.7 Express FM. Well, we are well and truly deep into this new Football League season, aren't we, Blues fans? Pompey have played over a quarter of their fixtures in League One, have reached the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy, and are just 90 minutes away from the infamous third round of the FA Cup. We've got all of the action of the unrelenting winter schedule coming up here on Express FM. Kenny Jackett's rejuvenated Blues have two home matches this week, following on from another, which was played just over a few days ago. Myself and my two guests for tonight's conversation will be going over the events of Saturday's fixture very shortly. But first of all, we're going to take a listen back to how it all panned out right here on Pompey Live. There were four changes to the side that drew two all away to Plymouth last Monday night, including a first league start for Academy graduate Hadji Manoga and the return of Ronan Curtis from international duty. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentary team for the visit of Crewe Alexandra.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey. Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And we are ready to get things underway. Should be a good one this afternoon. It's a pretty chilly afternoon at Fratton Park. His Crewe immediately go long to the head of Jack Watmore. Loose in midfield and Ryan Wintle for Crewe is just going to hammer it forward. Pring, well, somewhat misconnects as he tries to send it forward and Crewe have got themselves a throw. There's Pring's left foot or Curtis's right foot for Portsmouth to deliver to the box or have a shot. Is that in-between range? What are we going to see here? Pring steps over it. Curtis, shot, deflected and Jasker Leinen gathers. All sloppy at the back from Crewe and Ellis Harrison has it. Cheaply won and then is he fouled? No, says the referee, but Pompey have it through Marquez. Curtis in the area. Curtis shot. He scuffed it, but it's in the net. He finds the bottom corner. Not the cleanest strike, but Curtis won't mind. Seventh of the season against a run of play. Portsmouth 1, Crewe 0. And Crewe will try and come forward. Here's Kirk. Left corner of the penalty area. He's got Pickering on the overlap. And Manoga switches off and Pickering gets across into the middle. And it's goal bound. And will it be forced in the net? No, on the roof of the net. How's that not gone in? It's a Crewe corner. Harrison heading it straight up in the air. Harness brings it down, but it wasn't a good touch. And it allowed Pickering to get in and win the ball for Crewe, who have it through Beckles. Oh, and poor touch from Beckles, gives it to Curtis. Curtis in the penalty area. Curtis for Portsmouth, round the goalkeeper and in the net. Portsmouth have their second. It was Ronan Curtis's determination and then brilliant quick footwork that forced the ball into the goal. The referee signalled advantage. It would have been a penalty, but there was no need to worry with that because Curtis forces it over the line. Portsmouth 2, Crewe 0. In towards the middle and then headed away. Naylor from the edge of the box. He's got 2 in 2. Can he make it 3 in 3? He can! Tom Naylor with his left foot from 20 yards out, rifled into the bottom corner. And Portsmouth, you would say, have made this game safe. It's Portsmouth 3, Crewe 0, 5 minutes into the second half. Harrison sees the ball go out of play, but it'll be a Crewe throw, will it? No, referee says it's a Portsmouth throw, and Curtis is in the area, and Curtis' shot is saved, and Marquis touched it into the bar and then into the net. Finally, the ball ends up. Crewe are fuming because they think the throw should have gone their way inside their own half. Portsmouth attack down the left. Crewe's goal just couldn't hold out any longer. It's Portsmouth 4, Crewe 0. Corner taken short and Crewe drive into the penalty area. Pompey switch off and Lee Brown. Has it hit his hand? The referee says yes.
From that distance, really.
And gives a penalty kick to Crewe. And it is Ollie Finney looking for his third of the season that will have the chance to do so. We are in the 94th minute. This is the very definition of consolation as Finney steps up and scores, sends McGilvery the wrong way. And McGilvery, you probably heard that noise. That was Craig McGilvery kicking the post in frustration. His 100th appearance will not lead in a clean sheet, but it will end in a Portsmouth victory. Ollie Finney getting one back. Portsmouth 1, Portsmouth 4, Crewe 1. And then Naylor goes long down the left-hand side looking for Curtis, who was looking for his hat-trick. And it turns out that is the final piece of action of this game. It's finished here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth 4, Crewe Alexandra 1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The Blues ran out 4-1 winners at the weekend against the Railway Men, who huffed and puffed, but for all of their efforts, ran out of steam and left Fratton Park with nothing but a consolation goal. Alongside me this evening to discuss that victory and to look ahead to the next game, first and foremost, is Mr. Jamie Spencer. Jamie, a very good evening to you, my friend, and thank you for calling in to talk to us tonight.
Evening, Jake. Good to be back on.
It's a pleasure to have you, Jamie. Back to winning ways for Pompey at the weekend then. Were you impressed with how it was carried out?
Yeah, you have to say it was a good performance. I know that there was a lot of talk after the game around the possession stats and that Crewe had a lot more of the ball, but Pompey, and to be honest, really looked comfortable. And they never looked as though they were under any trouble. They didn't choke when they got into the final third and they took their chances.
Yeah, and I'd like to introduce now on the other end of the line is Josh Sweetman. Josh, I hope you're well, mate, and welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Jake.
Four goals against newly promoted Crewe on Saturday then, Josh, but it has to be said, they're not actually a bad side. Now, would it be fair to say that what we saw at the weekend was rather similar to how we beat MK Dons at Fratton Park in October? Not too much possession, but really hitting them on the break and just being more efficient with our forward play.
It will be. I mean, you look at it before the game, Crewe came into the game in good form. Two good wins against Peterborough and Oxford. But in my opinion, and I think it's been summed up a lot on social media during the week, that you can huff and puff and have as much possession as you want. The way Jackett sets his team up is to sit back and hit teams on the counter. And to be honest, I know we scored 4 on Saturday, but from every single corner they had in the first half, I genuinely think we could have scored every time we broke away. And the credit to Kenny Jackett, because he's changed, he's got it right, and we look devastating going forward when we win the ball back.
Yeah, and it was performances like on Saturday afternoon, Jamie, where, you know, Kenny's style of play, it actually proves to be effective. Now, it's not necessarily effective against, you know, all teams in all match situations, but in regards to Saturday and the game that we are talking about this evening, it worked, and there's nothing really that you can fault from that performance.
It did. You know, you look at the Crewe side and they played well. You can't say they played badly. They used the ball well. A couple of mistakes at the back and Pompey made the most of them, yes. But actually, I think you'll see their position in the league at the moment, Crewe mid-table. But they've played now all of the top 7 already, which, you know, testament to them for being in the position they're in after that run of games, which is a tough run. And I think you'll see them comfortably in the top half come the end of the season.
Yeah. Let's talk about one of the big talking points from, well, prior to the game, Josh, and that was the news that Hadji Munoga would be making his first league start for Pompey. And it's got to be said, what a moment for the young lad. It must be, well, it's all been our dream, isn't it, to play for Pompey. But to make your first full league appearance, hats off to him, because he's a player that really is up and coming, and we've been shown that, and we've been treated to that in the last few weeks.
He does look like a talent, doesn't he? I mean, I think a lot of us would have wanted to be built like Hadji was at 18, because he's absolutely... I mean, the way he goes forward is fantastic. And I think you have to say that the appearances he's made coming off the bench, he's fully deserved his start. I was a bit surprised. I must admit, I thought that Jackett would have given him his first chance to start against Kings Lynn on Saturday. But he fully deserves it. I think it's a good learning curve for Hadji as well, because I think a few times he might have been caught out of position and a few balls in behind him, but he's 18 years old. He's only going to get better.
Yeah.
And the more he's blooded into the team, the better he will get.
Yeah. How do you think the Hadji fared on Saturday afternoon then, Jamie? Like we say, we've seen him in the odd flashes and games over the last couple of weeks in the FA Cup and away to Lincoln in the league, but it was his first full league start. A lot of perhaps expectation weighted on his shoulders, and bearing in mind, you know, you take into consideration perhaps the lack of experience that he does have at this level, and, you know, the way that he was kind of thrown into that team lineup rather unexpectedly, it has to be said. How do you think he performed in that first half?
Yeah, it's difficult when you're an up-and-coming player coming in to try and make your mark, because you will naturally be seen as the weak link by your opposition. And you know, I think me and Josh were talking about this before the show started, in that a lot of the crew attack was centred around trying to exploit that. And you know, he's going to make mistakes, he's going to need to learn lessons quickly, and that's going to be testament to him as a player, as how quickly he does manage to bring those errors and correct them in his game. I think it reminds me a lot, actually, seeing him coming in, as we saw Adam Webster when he first came into the side. And he made a few errors really early on in his career, and people went, oh God, he's really gangly, he's not the full ticket yet, he's never going to be able to sustain his position in here, and it's too soon for him. I mean, look at Adam Webster now and what a player he turned into, not only for Portsmouth, but beyond. And, you know, we've had to, you look at him and he's got that commitment, he's got that drive, he's got that ability, certainly, in the isolated circumstances that we've seen him so far, to be able to come on and influence the game from the bench. It's going to take him a little time to do that from starting, I think, and he's going to have to learn the hard way a couple of times, but... You know, he's got all of the right assets there to make sure that he is a fixture and you know, going to be part of this Pompey defence in the seasons, hopefully not just this season, but the season to come.
Yeah. And what we've taken from Hadji's performances of late, Josh, is that his forward play actually is rather impressive for a defender as well. Would you go as far as saying that maybe Hadji's got a future at right midfield as opposed to right back?
I think it's a tough one. I think, a bit like Webster, what Hadji needs is a manager who is going to play him in one position and basically say, this is what I see you as. I remember Webster being played out at right back, and through no fault of his own, just didn't look comfortable. It took, I can't remember who the manager was at the time, to come in and just say, look, I see you as a centre half. It was well before Cook. I know Cook turned around and sort of, he praises Cook highly for what he did for him, but it was someone before Cook that said, look, I see you as a centre-half, and it was amazing, pretty much an overnight transformation.
Yeah.
Didn't he come in the Appleton days, I think? It was as early as that, wasn't it?
I remember him under Orford, but I don't remember who it was. But I think it's the same for Hadji. What he needs is, whether it's Kenny or whether it's someone after, and you'd like to think it's done sooner rather than later, you need to turn around and say, look, I see that you're athletic, you have all the attributes to be a fantastic centre-half, which I think he does. He's good going forward, but he has everything that you'd want in a dynamic centre-back who is powerful, who is quick, who can understand the reading of the game. I think if he's put into a position sooner rather than later and said, you will play here constantly, whether that's week in, week out, whether that's every 3 or 4 weeks he starts, then I think that would be better for his development.
Yeah. Adam Webster, by the way, promoted to the Pompey first team in 2012. So, you're not far off there, Jamie, and both of you, in regards to when he first kind of came onto the scene. Left in 2016 to Ipswich, of course. And just finally, on the note of Hadji Minoga then, Jamie, he was taken off at half-time. In fact, both him and Campering were taken off for rather more experienced heads at the fullback positions, and Lee Brown and Callum Johnson. What did you make of that substitution? Do you think it was fair? Do you think maybe it was actually kind of the right direction for Kenny to take heading into the second half?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was. You know, we've got ourselves in a good position, and I think having that discipline in a defensive unit when you are ahead in the game, you know, not to make those be too ambitious almost, and then before you know it, you've let the other side back in the game. I think it was the right decision. You know, that's not to say by any means was it a terrible performance or anything like that. I think he did okay. You know, I've seen him play better coming off from the bench, to be honest, but there's still so much to come from him, and he'll learn a lot from the weekend. He'll have enjoyed the experience, I'm sure, and we'll be very much looking forward to his next outing, whether that be tomorrow night back in the side against Oxford or whether that be at the weekend against King's Lynn. You'd like to think that he'll continue getting minutes this season, and that's so important for him now going forward as a Pompey player.
Yeah. Mockers on Twitter says, Jamie is right about Hadji. Adam Webster would have been on the footballing scrap heap had it not been for Gary Waddock, says Mockers on Twitter. Thank you, Mockers, for getting in touch with us this evening. OK, let's hear now the post-match thoughts of Ronan Curtis. Ollie Marsh caught up with the Irishman after Saturday's win over Crewe, and he began by asking how happy he was to get back on the score sheet.
Yeah, it's great, obviously. It's not always about scoring the goals and that. Obviously, we want to play well as a team, first and foremost. But we've done really well today and we got the win, so, yeah, grateful.
Just talk us through each one. Obviously, the first one was a deft finish, and then the second one, you really had to battle to get it away.
Yeah, first one, obviously, Jono cut it back inside to me and obviously slotted it in the bottom corner. And then the second one, literally just took it around the defender, took it around the goalkeeper and then just placed it in, just really. So, yeah, it was two all right finishes.
As a side, you're the top scorers in the league. How good is it to be part of an attack that's really firing on all cylinders?
Yeah, we work on it a lot in training, obviously, throughout the week, and we want to do better and better at finishing, and when we get chances, we take them. So, yeah, we've been working hard in training, well, since I've been back, obviously, and the boys look really good and really frightening. So, yeah, we're doing well.
Crewe seemed to have more possession than you in the first half, especially. Did you have to outwork them today?
No, not really. The best teams in the world do it, really. Keep the ball, but they don't really affect the game. You could have the most possession and not score. So we affected it well. We knew how to keep the shape good, and we counter-attacked them at good times, and we scored.
Obviously, on a personal note, you've just come back from international duty. How did you find that?
Yeah, it was great, obviously, being away with the lads for 10-11 days. Obviously, came on against England and then got my start against Bulgaria. So, yeah, I'm flying with confidence at the minute.
Yeah, the one against England, was that a particularly special one being at Wembley?
Yeah, of course, back at Wembley, obviously. A bit different because the fans weren't there, but it was amazing, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, just talk us through the week. What time did you get back and did you get a chance to train before today's game?
Yeah, obviously, flew back Thursday. Got back about midday, 12-ish, half 11-ish, and obviously didn't go in Thursday. Went in yesterday, done a set pieces and walkthroughs and stuff like that, and then obviously today played the game, obviously, yeah.
Marcus was with you over in Dublin. How nice was it to have a familiar face there?
Yeah, it was great, obviously, to get him over. Obviously, he's been playing really well and he deserved a call-up. So, yeah, hopefully we push on now, keep our name in the limelight, and hopefully we get called up for March's games.
Yeah, and just looking forward with Pompey, you've got another game on Tuesday night to get straight back into.
Yeah, obviously, we want to keep the run going, home and away, and be up there title contenders this year.
Ronan Curtis speaking there following the win over Crewe Alexandra at the weekend. Quite a bold statement at the end of that there. Title contenders for Pompey. You never know. OK, next up for the Blues is last season's playoff semi-final opponents, and the gaffer is targeting consistency as well as a strong follow-up to Saturday's performance.
Our points total so far for the season is pretty good, but we'll have to be consistent and push all the way through the season, and you know, we'll have to make sure that, you know, we really do play to our maximum to get wins every week.
Oxford United make the trip down to PO4 tomorrow evening, and we'll be hearing more from Kenny Jackett a little later in the show. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get involved tonight. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Stay tuned for even more Pompey analysis and debate right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Monday Football Hour, which is brought to you this season in partnership with Stagecoach across the South. Download the Stagecoach app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store, depending, of course, on your device to plan your next journey. And please bear in mind that it is compulsory at the moment to wear a face covering when riding the bus. Going to jump straight back into the conversation now with an email in from Alan Swift, who says, "Hi, Jake and Co. That was a far better performance and welcome home win on Saturday. Shame about the conceded goal, but a win tomorrow and we could be in second place, and that's where we want to be. Although Peterborough should win at home to Plymouth and Ipswich have Hull at home. It will be tight up there and most likely will be around third. If we stick to a 4-4-2, we'll be all right. We have Curtis back and no doubt Jacobs will be back soon as well. Onwards and upwards," says Alan in Southsea. Jamie, hard to argue with that really, isn't it? 4-4-2 does appear to be the way forward, though we have known that for quite a while now.
Yeah, it certainly changed the game on Monday night, and you know, you've seen it in action again at the weekend to devastating success, really. It does speak for itself. I think the most important thing, though, Jake, is to have options. And you know, there's a time where this Portsmouth side became so predictable because you just knew what was coming every week. We've got a bit of mystery around it again now, dare I say it, because you know, you could make a case for Pompey playing any which way at the moment, and you'd be hard pressed to make an argument against it. So it's nice to have that dynamism in the attack so that we've got options there and we're able to influence games in different ways.
And the Blues really are firing right now, which is great to see. Josh, Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness and John Marquis all at the top of their games, which is, wow, the perfect formula, you know, that you could really hope for Pompey heading into, you know, November, December time. And throughout this season, of course, you want all three of those players all at the top of their games right at the same time, because we look unstoppable right now.
Yeah, we do look good. And actually, I think you're missing one player off the list, which is Ryan Williams. I know he was unavailable on Saturday, but I'd put a case forward that he actually has probably been our best player before Saturday for the three or four games before that. And as you said, those front three and Williams as well, if you have them in a front four, it's not so much what you do defensively, but as soon as you win that ball back, you have got pace and energy going forward, which teams don't seem to be able to handle. Especially at this level, I'd say League One, the majority, not to stereotype, but the majority of defenders don't have that yard of pace to keep up with the likes of Harness, Williams and Curtis. They're a bit slower, they're a bit taller, they're a bit more dominant in the air. And the thing is, we've now found a way to bring Marquis into it. And he does have all the attributes which Kenny tried to play. I know he's a goal scorer, but he does have the ability to hold it up. Yeah. I think our first goal was a prime example on Saturday that he does have the ability to link up play, because his pass to Curtis was absolutely fabulous. But it's not so much now. I think it's next month, which is the four games against Ipswich, Hull, Peterborough and Fleetwood will be, I think that'll tell us where we're going to be at the end of the season.
Whoa, chaps, let me just stop you there. We've talked about four players there. Let's not forget about the League One Frank Lampard, newly crowned Mr. Naylor. Come on, what a run he's on.
Yeah, brilliant. And like you say, Jamie, Tom Naylor, who, well, really has been a really solid within that position since he signed for us, but one of the most kind of underrated players within this squad. But like you say, as of late, three goals in three games for him now. He's proven to be a real asset, not just holding in front of the defence, but actually going forward as well and contributing to the goal. So like you say, captain fantastic Tom Naylor, who really does deserve more credit than he's getting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's come on and you know, had a big setback at the end of last season. Let's not forget that. You can only imagine how devastating it must have been for him, being left out of that playoff side and not getting a minute on the pitch. To bounce back in the way that he has from that, I think is first of all incredibly professional and admirable. But you know, to be able to add the goals that he scored to his game and chip in on that front as well, it is something that we've not seen from him too often in spells as a Pompey player. So, you know, long may it continue, because if he keeps on pinging them in from outside the box, we're going to be very happy Pompey fans come the end of the season, because it's good to share the goals around.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to have to rely on you know, Curtis or Mark Crease to turn up every week to get the goals. If we can start sharing around the team, it's going to give us so many more threats going forward. And you talk about the likes of Harness, who again has come on really well. You know, Williams definitely come on really well. Got to put Naylor in that category for me as well. I think he's been great so far this season.
Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved with the chat tonight, as Alan has just done there, then please do. The three of us here invite you all to get in touch with us between now and 7. All the usual ways to do so, it's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or visit facebook.com/pompeylive. We heard before the break, Josh, from Roden Curtis, who was away on international duty last week. And what a way that was to return for him at the weekend. And really not a surprise, actually. We've seen him go away for the Republic of Ireland before, and he's come back an improved player, you could say, from, you know, in kind of respect to the start of the season. And once again showed that on Saturday with an absolute dominant display.
He did, and I think the thing about Curtis is, and I mean, you could argue, I would have thought, just before the call-up to Ireland, I thought Harness was actually in better form. I don't think Curtis was actually probably playing to the best of his ability. But the good thing you get with Curtis, and no matter how he's playing, you know that he is a goal scorer, and he can create chances from absolutely nothing, which is absolutely fantastic. And now that he's had that confidence of getting out, making his first start for Ireland, coming on against England, he could be an absolutely different player, and it showed on Saturday how ruthless he can be. So if he can maintain that form for the next 5-6 weeks, then it's only going to benefit Pompey, and hopefully it's not a case that... The other case is that when Jacobs comes back as well, he's got competition, and he really needs to prove that he is the one to keep Jacobs out, because obviously Jacobs seemed to be Curtis Jackett's favoured person when they were both fit, but you can't replace the goals that Curtis gives you from that position.
Mocker's got back in touch on Twitter, and I think he's found the reason why Roden's, you know, been on form lately. He's tweeted in saying, credit for Roden's fine form must be due to his mum, Marie Curtis, feeding him with banoffee pie and lemon drizzle cake. # the food of kings. And Jamie Spencer, is that fair? Banoffee pie
absolutely.
And lemon drizzle cake, is that formula?
I'm more of a cheesecake man myself, to be honest with you. But each their own, Jake, you know?
Josh, this isn't the football hour anymore. It's the cake hour. What's your favourite?
Well, I don't know. I made some pretty good banana brownies yesterday, so I'll go with banana.
Banana.
But yeah, I'm not a bacon expert.
But no, in all seriousness, Jamie, Roden Curtis, he's a confidence player. That's something we've discussed many times here on the Football Hour, and highlighted actually in that interview from before the break. The start for Ireland last week really motivated him to keep up his performances for Pompey, and he's even gone on to say that he wants to carry on performing for Pompey so that he can keep getting within the Republic of Ireland squad. And that is exactly the kind of the hunger and the desire that you want from your players.
Yeah, look, and I think he'll see the Ireland set up at the moment as not only a chance to be part of a squad, but a chance to break into the first team. They're not pulling up trees at the moment. I think it's a 4 or 5 games since they've scored a goal now, and the pressure's mounting on those experienced players within that side to start turning up, because if they don't, then for someone young and confident and informed like Curtis, you've got to say he's going to be getting closer and closer to that first team in Ireland. And what better motivation for him than trying to prove that in a Pompey shirt?
Yeah. OK, I'm going to read one more interaction coming in. We've got an email here from Kate Mottershead. She says, hi, Jake, Jamie and Josh. Long-time listener, first-time emailer here. Thank you, Kate, for getting involved, by the way. Thank you for listening throughout the course of the season. She goes on to say, but I think Saturday's game was a great result and buzzing to see Tom score again. My heart broke for Craig with that last-minute goal for Crewe, but all in all, a fantastic performance again for Portsmouth. Most importantly, that game went out free to all season ticket holders, so I imagine it was a great advert for the Blues, and hopefully more fans will be tuning in regularly after that. Kate, thank you for your email once again this evening. Let's go through some of it. Well, I say some of it. Let's go through all of the goals from Saturday's game at home to Crewe, and we'll start off with Roden Curtis's opener on the 15th minute.
Curtis in the area. Curtis is shot. He scuffed it, but it's in the net.
We've already spoken about how Ronan Curtis has been performing of late, Josh, but that opening goal 15 minutes into the match, it's, well, further evidence, but Pompey scoring early in games this season really is proving to be, well, the winning formula. We score early and we end up winning the match.
We do, and you can't forget that every time Tom Naylor scores that we win a game.
True.
I think with it was another one of those examples that you can have a team play possession in front of you all you want, but, I mean, Crew just gave the ball away at the back, and I alluded to it earlier, it's not so much what we did with it. It's, I think for me, what makes the goal, once we win it back, is the pass from Marquis to Curtis, because it's almost a no-look opposite direction to the way he's going.
Yeah.
And you're right, once we score early, then we're a completely different beast. I'm never confident, and I think I'd like to be proven wrong, but our record when we go behind really isn't good.
No.
And Pompey are very much a team that heads drop, and you find it tough to get back into a team, because we notoriously struggle to break down teams that sit back and let us play. Yeah. We're much more effective when teams come at us. So, but yeah, getting on the score sheet early, you really feel that we're going to go and get another two or three and then put the game to bed.
Yeah. And then just moments before the break, Jamie, Ronan Curtis got his second of the game to give Pompey a comfortable lead at half-time.
Curtis in the penalty area. Curtis for Portsmouth round the goalkeeper and in the net!
Fantastic composure as well from Ronan Curtis in that position, Jamie, who, well, you must say, had he not scored from that position, he probably would have been awarded a penalty. He had Omar Beckles really tugging at his shirt and really kicking at his ankles to prevent him from scoring. But he'd done well to get past that, get around the keeper, and just it wasn't the cleanest of strikes again, but it went over the line, and it was enough to, you know, prevent the defender who was covering on the line to stop it from going in. So, yeah, another great goal.
Yeah, he showed great agility and that tenaciousness to want to try and break down play and look, he's clever feet for the goal. I think you're maybe doing him a little bit of a disservice, but I'll say the referee did very well as well, because he could have blown. Yeah. And he waited until the play played out, which, you know, we've been very critical of referees a long time on this show, so I'm going to give the referee a bit of praise there as well for letting it go.
100%. And we've already mentioned Tom Naylor, captain fantastic. His third goal in three matches.
Naylor from the edge of the box. He's got two in two. Can he make it three in three? He can!
And by this point, 51 minutes into the game, it really does look set in stone. Pompey were heading for the win. Josh, we'll go straight on to the John Marquis strike. Actually, just a few moments later to make it 4-0 just before the hour mark.
It's a Portsmouth throw and Curtis is in the area and Curtis' shot is saved and Marquis puts it into the bar and then into the net.
Bit fortunate for John Marquis there, Josh. His first effort was ricocheted off the bar, but he'd done well to persevere and nod it into the back of the net.
To be honest, that's a sign of a striker who's in goal-scoring form. Yep. When Curtis cut in, you never felt at 1 minute that he was going to pass the ball. I mean, on a hat-trick, cutting in, you know that Curtis is going to shoot. But Marquis does well to get the initial shot and to follow it up. Like, you'd be disappointed if a different player in the team didn't follow it up once he hit the crossbar, but to follow his own chance up and assist himself was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And then, say there as well, Jake, it's really good work from Ellis Harrison as well, because not for a second did he give a referee a chance to think about that throw-in. It probably wasn't our throw-in, I think we've all seen that, but he got straight on with it, straight the ball down the line to Curtis, and you know, the play was back underway as soon as possible, which I think, you know, was as crucial to the goal as anything there. Yeah.
Definitely the quick reactions you want from your players. And Ellis Harrison, another, you know, figure within this Pompey team, like Ryan Williams, who we've mentioned earlier, doesn't necessarily get on the score sheet, you know, provide many assists, but a real pivotal cog to this Pompey machine. Going to move on to the final goal of the match, and rather unfortunate for Craig McGilvery in the 93rd minute.
As Finney steps up and scores, sends McGilvery the wrong way.
Just very quickly, Josh, Craig McGilvery making his 100th Pompey appearance. Congratulations to him, by the way, Craig McGilvery, if you're listening. Fantastic achievement for any player, but his 100th appearance. He is now a Pompey centurion. He would have liked to seen out a clean sheet, but you've got to hand it to him. You can't be blamed for that one, because he made three pivotal saves throughout the entire game. Three really key saves. And that penalty, well, it wasn't a penalty, was it? It's fired straight at Lee Brown's arm, who was, you know, right by his body from, what, 2 yards out. That's harsh.
It's an absolute kick in the gut, isn't it? 100th appearance, 91st minute, you've done your job, you've had a fantastic game, and then you get a penalty decision like that. I mean, playing myself, my team have had decisions like that given against us this season, and it's an absolute joke that you can't, from a yard away, you can't get out of the way. I can understand it if you're blocking a goal scoring a chance, but you can't get out of the way. You don't have time to react. No. But credit to Craig, like, to get 100 appearances quickly. I mean, it could have been a lot more if it wasn't Mbass replacing him last season. But if he can continue his form, then I think the carrot at the end of the stick for him is that Scotland will qualify for the Euros now. So he's in with a chance of going to a major international tournament.
Yeah.
So, and fingers crossed he does, because I mean, I know David Marshall's brilliant for Scotland, but they don't really seem to have much backup. So he's got a great opportunity to be part of something special.
Yeah. Very good point from you there, Josh. Lads, we're going to take a moment now to hear from the manager, Kenny Jackett, who provides his pre-match thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game. He spoke to Ollie Marsh at the training ground early this afternoon, and McGaffer first spoke about the sort of test he's expecting from an Oxford side who have started the season so poorly.
Yeah, they had a good win at the weekend, and we'll be looking to sort of climb the table. I've seen them do this before, where they've had a sort of poor start, but then made the top six by the end, and I'm sure they're capable of it, and that'll be their aim. But for us anyway, you know, we've played Oxford sort of very recently in the playoffs, and one or two people changed in both sides, but not many, and be similar groups of players.
Yeah, do you feel like they're in a bit of a false position at the moment? Because, as you say, it's largely the same side that came so close to promotion last year.
Yeah, it is, and you know, thin dividing lines the first quarter of the season, and they'll be, you know, looking to improve their fortunes and try to climb up the league. As I said, you know, in recent seasons they've done that before, and you know, we'll be capable of it. The league looks like it has sorted itself out quite well, but you know, Oxford, I would suggest, are in a false position.
Do you think that the playoff games are going to be on the minds of the players? Will they perhaps have revenge in mind for those games?
Well, unless it goes to penalties, it'd be different. You know, but they were close games, hard fought, good competitive games between, you know, two good sides and two honest sides as well. But you know, this is a fresh season anyway, and you know, we're in the middle now as we go on to Tuesday night of three home games. We want to try to improve our home form and our record. We made a good stab at that Saturday with, I thought, a good performance where, you know, what we tried to do came off, and we worked it well, and we were clinical with our finishing, and it's got us the 3 points. And again, though, this morning all of our focus has been moving on, not dwelling on Saturday one way or another, and looking forward, because in this league the next game comes at you very quickly, and for tomorrow night, you know, we'll have to make sure we're concentrating, we're working, we're trying our best to try to enjoy our football and the next challenge, which is, you know, Oxford on Tuesday.
Does it make a positive difference, obviously, having the games at Fratton Park and not having to deal with the travelling element of it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we've had a lot of away games, but similarly, you know, the club look after us very well when we do travel, and the, you know, the accommodation, the detail in it is very, very good. So we have no excuses when we do go away from home. You can say, you know, a lot of travelling in a short space of time can maybe just affect things, bring on an injury or two, but you know, I don't think it's something that we can use as an excuse. But similarly, the familiarity of home games of Fratton Park is something we want to try to capitalise on if we can. I understand that overall, you know, things have evened up home and away with no crowd, but similarly, you know, overall we do want a good home record, and we have a chance on Tuesday to try and follow up a good win on Saturday.
In the table, you're not too far off top at the moment. Is it important that you put yourself in the best possible position before you have a sort of break from the league in the FA Cup?
Yes, it is, and we want to be up there challenging. There's a lot of sides that are looking good as ever. The top of this division is a good competition and some very good teams, but we want to be in there and around it. Our points total so far for the season is pretty good, but we'll have to be consistent and push all the way through the season, and you know, we'll have to make sure that, you know, we really do play to our maximum to get wins every week.
Is it just Ryan Williams and Michael Jacobs still on the injury table at the moment?
Yes, it is. Michael Jacobs will be out for maybe another 2 weeks. He's going well in terms of his rehabilitation. I felt it was a bad tackle at Sunderland, and it could have put him out for longer. So, you know, he's come back quite well considering the injury that he had, and I've been pleased with him. For Ryan Williams, he'll, I think, have a fitness test this morning. We'll see whether he's fit and available to play on Tuesday night.
The feelings of Kenny Jackett, you just heard there, ahead of tomorrow night's visit of Oxford United to Fratton Park. OK, still to come tonight, the three of us here will be continuing to preview the upcoming League One fixture between Pompey and Oxford United, and we want you back home to help us to do so. Get in touch with us tonight. You have only around 15 minutes to do so. Let us know who you would like to see start the game, what you believe needs to change from Saturday's match, and, of course, your score predictions too. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Of course, you can tweet in using at expressfm or head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Whilst you do that, we're going to take a very quick breather, but don't go anywhere and stay tuned for even more of the Pompey discussion right here on the Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the third and final time tonight to the Monday Football Hour on Express FM, driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent services across the city and even further beyond as well. Head over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information regarding routes, prices and the latest COVID guidelines. We're going to jump straight back into the preview of tomorrow evening's match at Fratton Park by hearing now from Mason Jordan, who provides us all an in-depth look at the team set to line up opposite the Blues, Oxford United.
Following Saturday's efficient 4-1 victory over Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park, the Blues are back on home soil for midweek action. Kenny Jackett's side will be looking to make it two wins on the bounce when they take on Oxford United.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The U's are second of three sides set to travel down to the south coast within the space of 7 days. The weekend's victory over the Railway Men kick-started a 7-day period in which Pompey would play three matches at PO4. So far in the league, the Blues have won three, drawn one and lost three in their opening seven matches at Fratton Park. A win against Oxford could push them up to second in the table. But what do we know about this week's opposition prior to kickoff?
Manager.
39-year-old Carl Robinson, who had an 8-year-long playing career in the Welsh Professional and English non-leagues, is the man in charge of Oxford United. Robinson first came onto the coaching scene in the late noughties following his retirement as a player in 2007. In the 3 years before his first managerial position, he was employed as a coach for both the Liverpool Youth Academy and the first team of Blackburn Rovers. The gaffer burst onto the managerial scene at MK Dons, whom he guided to the Championship in 2015. In the same season, MK also enjoyed a League Cup run, during which they famously defeated Manchester United by 4-0 at Stadium MK. Following his departure in 2016, Robinson was also appointed boss at Charlton Athletic, though failed to achieve promotion at the Valley, making the switch to Oxford 2 years later on the same day it was announced that he would be leaving the Addicks. Across 137 competitive fixtures in which Robinson has taken charge of at the club to date, 54 have returned wins, while 45 have ended in defeat, accruing a win percentage of 39%.
One to watch.
London-born playmaker Dan Agge, who can operate as both a striker and a winger, has been tagged as the player to keep an eye on during Pompey's clash with the U's. The 23-year-old forward, who left Burnley last summer having made just 3 appearances in 4 years, is contracted to Oxford until the summer of 2022 and is someone who quite often causes the Blues problems when these two sides meet. Agge came through the youth ranks at AFC Wimbledon before moving on to Burnley in 2015. Though with his lack of game time at the club, you can understand why he struggled to see Turf Moor as his happy place. He did, however, enjoy useful loan spells in the Football League at Coventry City, Walsall and Blackpool before moving to the Kasem. If you plan on watching this match on iFollow, Dan Agge will be the player donning the number 19 shirt.
Top scorer.
30-year-old former Bristol Rovers talisman Matty Taylor, not to be confused with a former Blues fan favourite, is the leading scorer for Oxford at this stage of the season. Taylor added to his tally on Saturday afternoon, scoring in the U's 1-0 victory away to Wigan Athletic to make it 4 for their campaign so far in League One. The Oxford number 9 returned to the Kasem Stadium on a permanent deal in the summer, having scored 13 goals in 26 games during his loan spell from Bristol City last term. Taylor's career never really took off at Ashton Gate following his controversial move across the city from rivals Bristol Rovers in 2017. He made 67 appearances for the Championship club, but only netted on the 7 occasions. The forward started his career with Oxford, coming through their youth ranks in 2007 before being shipped out 2 years later.
Current form.
Carl Robinson's side have had a rough start to the season, arguably coming into the new campaign still suffering mentally from their playoff final defeat at the hands of Wickham in the summer. 4 defeats from their opening 5 league matches left Oxford in the relegation zone. They're now out of it following 3 wins from the last 6, but the Ewes are still 19th and only out of the bottom 4 on goal difference. Their opening quarter of the season has returned just 4 wins and 7 defeats, and they have yet to play out a draw. Without a doubt, the expected to be back challenging for a place in the top 6 have been seriously underachieving. Find out if the Blues can get one over on the team who defeated them in last season's playoff semi-final. All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
A closer look there at the Ewes of Oxford United, who make the short journey down for this week's game under the lights of Fratton Park. And speaking of the lights, actually, no more actual pylon floodlights, Jamie. The last one coming down late on Friday evening. So it's going to be a rather different sort of scene for Pompey tomorrow evening. I know many will kind of not be too bothered by that, but it's a big part of our history, and it's now all gone.
Yeah, for us who are a little bit older, Jake, you know, it's a sad day, I think. But I'm talking about myself here, not necessarily you. So I'm putting myself in a different category, Jake, don't worry. I think, you know, when you come down the Eastern Road and you head towards the ground and you see the lights on, it's just that football experience, isn't it, that you don't see in stadiums these days anymore. It's a sad moment, but I know we've kept the solitary one out the back of the North Stand there, and let's hope they keep it for a while longer, just so we've got that fix.
Yeah. Just going back to Saturday's game, Grant Beeson on Facebook says loads of positives. Stopped a decent young team playing in dangerous areas, broke quickly and looked dangerous as well. Hard to nominate a man of the match, though Raggett and Watmore were outstanding. But Tom Naylor, for me, broke so much of their play up and got our attack started. Naylor and Cannon are both very, very important to us, says Grant Beeson on Facebook. And again, going back to tomorrow's game, Josh, Oxford United, they've had a very poor start to the season in terms of their standards, which they set last season, of course, defeating Pompey in the playoff semi-final. But although they have had that slow start to a campaign, you can't help but feel that it's still going to be a very tough test. Oxford United have got the players at their disposal, and you can't help but maybe feel that at some point they're going to turn their fortunes around.
They will do, and we saw last season that they're a good team and they're well drilled by Robinson, and you'd like to think that the form we've shown recently, and I know genuinely from the start of the season our home form was the struggle, and we unfortunately Pompey never seemed to be able to match up their home. So either really good at home or really good away, and there's never no middle ground, unfortunately, and that's probably the fact that costs us promotion every year.
Yeah.
Oxford, they'll come and they'll be pretty confident they can get a result. As you said, I don't think really their form represents how good their squad is. So if we can get that early goal and settle, then I think we'll be fine. But we need to sort of take the game to them. We don't want to sit back against a team that needs to start picking up results. We need to go straight at their throat and basically trying to cut them off and do anything and put the game to bed early.
And this is the start of quite an unrelenting schedule for Pompey and for, you know, for all the teams in this division as well, you've got to say, Jamie. But you know, Josh mentioned earlier actually the fixture list Pompey have got in December, quite a tough one. Highlighted teams include Peterborough, Ipswich, Hull and Fleetwood as well. They're all coming up in the month of December, so this is the start of what you would hope would be a decent run of form, and hopefully not this what is it you call it, the winter,
you've got the winter hibernation that we usually suffer. Yeah, it seems to have been put to bed at the moment, Jake. I wasn't going to mention it. But it usually happens, doesn't it, where we just seem to switch off for a month. Let's hope that's not this month. But, yeah, look, 8 games in total across a busy December period. But let's hope that that's combated with the opportunity to get fans back inside Fratton Park, because what a lift that would give the players going into what is, you know, like I think Josh has already said, some very testing games in December, like home games against Peterborough, Fleetwood, Swindon on Boxing Day, another one that you know, you just like to have fans back in the ground for those games, because it will make such a difference. It really will.
Marcus on Twitter, you're going to get in trouble soon, mate. He says, I hope Tom Naylor won't be left out of the team to face Oxford due to the climatic conditions. Mockers, come on. Just very quickly then, Josh, before we head into tomorrow's game, the score predictions. 3 points behind leaders Hull. We can't go top. They're playing third place Ipswich. So, you know, there's going to be at least a point share between those two. So, like I say, it wouldn't be possible for Pompey to end the night top. But we could go second if results go our way.
We could, and I think it's very much one of those things that the teams around us have got a game in hand as well, but you can only do your job. You can't, at this stage, it doesn't really make a difference, but you can't worry about what teams are doing around you. I mean, maybe the last two or three games of the season, but all you can do is put 3 points on the board and then hope results go your way. There's plenty of football left to be played so at the moment.
Going to talk about Haverfordwest Waterlooville very quickly. Their game on Saturday away to Welling United in the National League South was postponed due to one player from the Welling team testing positive for COVID-19. We send him our best regards, of course. Their next fixture is coming this Saturday away to Marine in the second round of the FA Cup. Let's get to some of these score predictions we've got coming into us this evening then, ahead of Pompey versus Oxford United tomorrow night. Plenty of them coming in. Dickie Murrell's going for 2-1 Pompey. John Mumford says 2-0 Pompey. Alan Snelling is going for a 4-0 win. Steve Newsham says 3-1. Steve Lee says 2-0 Pompey. Brett Holdaway is going for a 3-all draw. Anthony Lee says 4-0 Pompey. And Harrison Hazel is going for a 4-2 Blues win. And now moving on to the two lads joining me over the phone for tonight's show. First of all, Jamie Spencer, a very quick score prediction from you, please.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another devastating Pompey win tomorrow night, actually. I'm really confident about it. 3-0.
Ooh, 3-0. Love that. How about you, Josh Sweetman? What do you reckon?
I'm really confident, but I know that the last couple of times I've been on here, I've said a draw and then we've gone and won. So I'll say a 1-1 draw, sacrificing it so that we'll get the 3 points.
Fair enough. Josh, thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining me this evening. In truth, I think it's going to be 2-1 either way. I'm not as confident as you guys, but I'm going to lock in a 2-1 win for Pompey. Blues fans back home, don't forget that you can hear all of the action of tomorrow night's game right here on Pompey Live when Pompey Live returns to Express FM and I Follow Pompey from 6 p.m.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey picks up their third win at home in the league after putting four past Crewe on Saturday.
And Marquis touched it into the bar and then into the net.
That win puts the Blues up to fourth in the league table. Up next, another league fixture, this time against Oxford United at Fratton. Join us for all the unmissable action from 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
And that is just about all we've got time for tonight, afraid. Once again, a huge thanks to both Jamie Spencer and Josh Sweetman for joining me this evening. To Stagecoach across the South for supporting this season of the Football Hour. And, of course, you for tuning in and getting involved with the conversation over the past hour or so. Join me at the same time on Friday evening where we can do it all over again. Coming up next, though, is Jeff Dorsett and Adrian Collis, who've got 2 hours off the greatest soft rock hits. The guys will be playing the latest tunes from Bleachers, Springsteen, Alice Cooper, and also local artist Ollie Henry. Jeff and Aid will also take a look back at events from this week in music history. And then from 9 o'clock, Liam Howes is back playing timeless classics and smoothing tunes to help you unwind on this Monday evening. Join Mason again for Portsmouth Breakfast bright and early from 7 o'clock tomorrow morning before he hands over to the legendary Darren Gamblin at 10 o'clock. Ian James is back from 1 with the Lyric Line and the Daily Pop Quiz before he turns his attention to great hits from the 70s, 80s and 90s with the Victory Years. Conor Mosley is back with Drive tomorrow afternoon before handing over to Liam Howes at 6 p.m. Pompey Live for the visit of Oxford United to Fratton Park, match day 14 in League One for the Blues. Join myself, Liam and Ryan live from Fratton Park to see if Pompey can continue their winning momentum. But until next time, stay safe, play up Pompey, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.